Hello and welcome once again to Being Mindful right here on PHBC Radio. It is wonderful to have you with us on the show today. What a great day. What a wonderful day it is today. In fact, we're really excited about the show today. If this is your first time listening to Being Mindful, Being Mindful is the show here on PHBC Radio where we discuss issues relating to our quality of life as Christians. And on this show, we will discuss everything. We'll talk about parenting. We'll talk about mental health, politics. We've talked about what it means to be in purpose. But hey, we've even gone Christian. Last show, we talked about the prophetic and various issues. So welcome, welcome, welcome. If this is your first time and you're not sure how to join in, we'd love for you to join in the conversation. If this is your first time, the easiest way to do that is if you've got the PHBC Radio app, you tap on the link that says contact the studio and click on the button. And you can send us a message directly here in the studio, which we will pick up. So do join us. We would love to hear from you. My name is Deji. I'm your host today, together with my usual co-host, Maxine. Hello, Maxine.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, today is a good day, isn't it?
It is indeed.
It is a very, very good day. And much more than that, it's not just the two of us in the studio today. We have got a special guest. And with us in the studio is Sarah McDonald. Hello, Sarah.
Welcome.
Welcome to Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. For those of you who are listening and you might think, Sarah McDonald, is she a member of the McDonald's clan? I have no idea. She might be a burger heiress for all I know. She's probably Scottish blood in her. But let me tell you this about Sarah. She is an expert. She is our expert for today's show. In fact, as I said, expert, she raised her eyebrows really high. So she is our expert for today's show, because on today's show, we are going to be talking about mental health, but with a particular focus on well-being. Mm-hmm. So 5 steps to well-being, 5 steps for well-being. So thank you for joining us and welcome to Being Mindful. First of all, let me welcome you, Sarah. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
It is great. It is great. So could you tell us, particularly for those who don't know about you, for those who are trying to get to know you, who are thinking, Sarah McDonald, he talked about burger heiress. You know, tell us a little bit about you and you know, the context in which you're here. What do you do, Sarah?
I wish I was part of the burger empire. I guess I'm a small percentage of their profits. But I'm not. I'm Sarah. I live locally to the church in Mitcham. And I met DJ a couple of months ago and we connected. Feels like we're on the same path in terms of trying to help the community in terms of everybody's well-being. I work for the NHS for a service called Merton Uplift that provides free talking therapy. But I think when we were discussing, we were saying, you know, well-being of the community is everybody's business.
Indeed.
It's the NHS, it's churches, it's communities, it's schools.
Yes.
It's much wider than just an NHS, a government service.
It's that word as a word that's risen in popularity over the last, decade or so. And the word is stakeholder.
Mm-hmm.
And when it concerns you, say, the key stakeholders in the community. Mm. And it's very easy to forget that the key stakeholders include the community, people in the community themselves.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, so I think it's wonderful what you're saying. So Merton Uplift, and you provide these services
for free for anybody that lives in Merton or has a Merton GP. Merton's a place in South London, but obviously your listeners could be anywhere. We were talking about that before, but the idea of the talking therapies in Merton, we're called Merton Uplift, but the idea is you could live in Birmingham, Manchester, Cornwall, Yorkshire, and everybody would have access to a talking therapy service for free via their local GP surgery. You can self-refer, you don't even have to tell your GP you're referring, and the idea is everyone then has access to a therapist through the NHS for free to talk about anything that's going on with their mood. It's affecting their kind of work, affecting relationships, all sorts.
Well-being, mental health, why?
What I wanted to say first and foremost is absolutely welcome to you. And in terms of what's happened, COVID, how would you say that Merton Uplift can help people who have suffered or experienced COVID.
Yeah, I mean, it's just affected everybody, hasn't it, with parents trying to homeschool while working, people that have sadly lost family members struggling with bereavement, people not being able to kind of come together for such an important thing like, you know, Sunday worship, being isolated. You know, we know there are people that have maybe still not got their confidence coming back out into communities again, which is such a shame. So what we do is try and talk to people about the here and now. What would they like their lives to look like? What are they missing? Are they missing hobbies, meaningful relationships with people, and helping people step by step to get that confidence back so they can enjoy their lives to the full.
Wow. I mean, today we're talking about well-being. How is well-being related to mental health? You know, because, you know, I think, you know, there are purists, you know, all these psychotherapy lot who will say, well, well-being is a bit airy-fairy, isn't it? It's not, you know, it's, what do you, where do you stand on this?
I think I can absolutely see both sides of the debates, and I just, even having that discussion about what it is just great, because it's getting it on people's radar. I think, you know, we've all kind of come to understand a bit more about looking after our own physical health, how we can take responsibility for our own health in terms of healthy lifestyles, kind of from diet to drink to smoking. And I think it's the well-being side is maybe just having a look at how active we can be about looking after our own well-being, being a bit more proactive in looking after that in terms of the steps we're going to come on to. But I think you can't take it out of the context of that, you know, the really difficult life challenges people are going through, as Maxime was saying about COVID, cost of living crisis going on. You know, it would be facetious to kind of take well-being out of the very real challenges people are seeing, kind of very traumatic events happening. But I suppose from what we say is, from very, you know, small things, things can grow. So it's looking after your well-being. A bit of prevention can help them when some really difficult times going, and hopefully there's some resilience built there. But not taking away from the fact that, you know, people are facing some really difficult situations in life.
I think this is really important, and you know, certainly for us as Christians, we're meant to look after ourselves, aren't we?
We are indeed, and thank you so much for what you've just shared, because, you know, what I liked about the website actually was the ease. You know, you can read through it. You can self-refer, as you mentioned earlier on, and there are different courses that are available, which I thought was fantastic. And I think that, you know, if somebody is going through something, there is that surety that they don't have to go through it on their own. There is somebody there, and from what I picked up as well, there's not a limit. So it can sort of go on as long as it needs to.
Absolutely. With the number of sessions, it might be you'd start with 6 and that can be reviewed, or it might be you kind of get some help for a year, go away, other life events happen, you can come back to the service. So as you say, there's the door's never closed for coming forward. And as you said, the courses, so people can meet individually with a therapist. They might be meeting in a group. And we know there's a power in group of people sharing experiences. It can be really comforting to realise you're not the only one that feels like this, or be inspired by someone else's story of how they've grown in their recovery. But we also do very short courses that are very accessible to anyone that, you know, that's the first step is coming to something on, say, improving sleep. And, you know, you're coming to that thinking, it's my sleep I want to improve. But actually it turns out the reason why maybe your sleep is disrupted is because you're waking up every day at 4:30 with your to-do list starting to rattle through your head, and you're realising actually maybe it's more to do with worrying, anxiety rather than the physical reason of sleep, or managing anger, and maybe the reason why you're being really irritable with your family and people close to you isn't you know, you're cross with them, but actually maybe you're struggling with stress and it's coming out as anger. So know, it's just getting it, we're saying about that well-being, getting it on people's radar, realizing that, you know, there's steps we can all take.
So on that basis then, I mean, we've talked about today being 5 steps to well-being and the sorts of things that the sorts of steps, if I could use that, a great segue. You know, the steps to well-being. What sorts of things? You know, what's the first step?
You
know,
journey of a start.
Absolutely, Journey of a Thousand Miles starts with the first step. What's the first step?
Mm-hmm. So where this came from was the same way that we're sometimes advised or told, however prescriptive you want to be, you know, the five pieces of fruit and vegetable today can help our physical health. Some policy members came up with the five ways of well-being to be thinking about how we can look after our own well-being. And I think, as you say, it's that step, because why I found it useful in my life is sometimes when things feel really overwhelming and you want to improve everything, you don't quite know where to start. Whereas this can almost be like a little anchor. There's, you know, five things you can do, different ways to be inspired. And having that as a very kind of formula way can actually help when you're, or if you're feeling really depressed and you can't see a way forward, someone else just suggesting a bit of a step, these five things may help on your own very personal journey, are really useful. So if I tell you the five, and then we can maybe between us discuss, and then if any of your listeners have got any any ideas of what they do already, that would be good. So the five ways are to connect, to give, to get active, to keep learning, and to take notice. So they're the five.
Okay.
Connect, give, get active,
keep learning, and take notice. What's so interesting, we'll come on to it, you know, you say, you hear keep learning, you might be thinking, I don't want to sign up for a course at South Thames College on education, but actually could be, you know, reading a new part of the Bible you hadn't read for a while, or watching something on YouTube. So with all of the steps, it's thinking much more widely than what, you know, what the initial thing you might hear about it is.
Yes. So let's start with connect.
Yes.
I think that's a wonderful
one. I thought about that word actually, you know, was in my mind before you said it. So I think, yes, because, you know, connection is so important. I think when somebody may well be going through, the last thing they want to do is connect.
Exactly.
They want to be isolated. Or they're thinking, I don't want to bother anybody else. So, again, it can be a silent sort of suffering, in a sense. So the word connection is very, very important.
Yeah.
Expand for us, connect. What sorts of things are good practice within the connect?
Yeah, I think, as you say, it's kind of feeling like you want to still be part of a community, even if you're feeling I haven't got anything to give right now. Staying connected to neighbours, friends and family is so important for all our well-being. And it can be anything from kind of making yourself make that call for a family member, even if you don't feel up to it, or putting something on a WhatsApp.
Right.
It could be saying hello to a neighbour if you pass them in the street, or making sure you say hello to everybody at church. It could be joining a club where we feel like we're part of something, so like a lunch club or a choir. With the kind of the pros and the cons of social media, maybe just being part of like an online group and stuff. We know there's obviously the dangers of social media, but actually if you're feeling like you can't be with anyone physically, just staying in touch with people via kind of either WhatsApp or being so many different kind of peer support groups online, that can be really useful as well.
But even from a Christian perspective, you know, the entirety of Scripture is calling us into relationship, into fellowship, into community, into family, into oneness with one another, the relating and connecting with one another, but also connecting with God.
Yeah.
So even on a Christian level, is connect with God. You know, there have been many times I've met people who say, oh, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. And I say, true. And I say, oh, I can't even pray. I say, well, I didn't tell you to pray. You know, there are situations, sometimes you'll say, go and pray about it. But people are like, you know what, I'm so down, I cannot pray. I was talking with somebody once who said, you know, I start my time, my quiet time and my time of, you know, devotion in the mornings, and I'll start my opening prayer and say, Lord, I just want to thank you because you're God and you're good and you're great and you're glorious, you know, tra-la-la. And they say, oh, well, thank you, Lord. And she said, and I just stopped there and I burst into tears. I cannot go beyond that point. And I said to her, what makes you feel that that's not good enough for God? How are you joining those dots? You know, it's what's in your, he hears your heart before your mouth even speaks. So the unspoken words, you know, so in that moment, it's you connecting with God. And sometimes we connect with God through worship even.
Yes.
So there are times we can't speak. Just put the music on and just let it do its thing, you know.
I think that's so important, especially if people are feeling really low, they're really doubting their identity, their self-esteem. So as Maxim was saying, people start to withdraw. It's like, you don't need to, just being present, carry on coming to the lunch club, carrying on coming to church, carrying on being part of things. Because as soon as you start to isolate, it's really hard. You lose that confidence. We saw that in the pandemic, people feeling, starting to feel like it was anxiety provoking, kind of having conversations and stuff.
Yeah.
But
it's
just being present and taking that chance and realizing other people might be going through it, I think, for sure.
I think another thing is I've heard this, you know, a few times where new mothers, the only conversation, if you want to call it that, is them talking to their babies. And so very, very, very often they can become, you know, feel isolated.
Yes.
Or have no contact.
Yeah.
No contact with another adult, no conversation, no interaction. And so from what Sarah is saying, it sounds like just connect, whatever that looks like.
Yes.
You know, whatever that looks like to you as an individual, if it is knock on your neighbor's door, hello, how are you, introduce yourself. Or if the milkman comes, if they still come around nowadays, you know, or whatever it is.
Hold on. Where do you live?
Well, exactly. But, you know, connection, we were meant to be connected.
Yes. Social people.
We are social people. And I think that, you know, from what we've heard so much about the impact that COVID did have, being, was it 6 meters apart, right? I can't remember where it is now. It's a long time ago, it seems like. Or 2 meters apart.
2 meters,
you know, there was this sense of, I wanted to touch you.
Yes.
Or rub my, you know, whatever. So it
and
really
just be in the same space as others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, having to sort of wave and think, it shows that connection is vital to our well-being.
And I think it's that thing about realizing that people are kind as well. I'm bringing up teenagers in London and that whole thing about, you know, having conversations about being street smart, but also you don't want to instill fear when there doesn't need to be there, kind of thing. The more, I know it sounds really trite, but you know, you smile at someone on the bus and they smile back, or someone holds a door open, you start to see the positivity in your community. Because it's so easy just to worry about feeling unsafe or worried about everyone's out to kind of mug you, and actually they're not. Most people, we want to be connecting, as you say. So actually if you reach out and you manage to hold door open, someone else says thank you, it just reminds you that generally people in life are good people, and it just brings that back to the surface. I think is so important.
That's very good.
Well, just want to say, if you're just joining us, if it's your first time or you're just joining us, we've got in the studio with us today Sarah McDonald from Merton Uplift, and we are talking about the 5 steps to mental well-being. And we've just talked about, I mean, gosh, time flies, eh? We've only talked about step one, which is connect, whether that be connecting with people, connecting with friends, connecting with family, you know, connect. We're going to take a short music break. Listen, you know the drill. We'd love to hear from you. You know, if you're listening, you've got a comment, a question, perhaps, or a contribution. Maybe you've experienced, you know, steps to well-being yourself, or you have questions. We would love to hear from you. Sarah's a guest in the show. She's ready. She will answer any question you have, any question on any topic. No, I'm kidding. We're gonna have a music break now. We're gonna listen. This is, you know, on this show we love our jazz music. This is a great sax instrumentalist. Sam Levine is one of the one of my favorite gospel artists, jazz gospel artists, and he is playing the ever popular "I Am a Friend of God." I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. Wonderful, wonderful jazz track there. If you like your sax jazz, I trust that was enjoyable for you. Welcome. You are listening to the Being Mindful show here on PHBC Radio. And today we are talking about five steps to mental well-being, looking at ways in which we can, things that we can do to aid our well-being. Just before we listen to that track, we were talking about connection as the first step. In the studio with us today is Sarah McDonald from Merton Uplift. So Sarah, we've talked about connecting. What would you say is the second step, or the other step?
So I think there's a really a lot of value in talking about how five ways of well-being through giving. Mm. And we talked before about how you hear the first words, kind of give, doesn't have to mean giving money. It's not that at all. It could be about giving your time, giving your loves to someone, giving some friendship, giving your ear, listening to a friend or a family member.
So it's a bit like peer support.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for some people it might be giving. Someone was talking to me at one time. She had a great example of how she gives was she buys a lot of clothes on eBay, and the ones that don't work for her, she gives to a charity shop, and she felt that was her way of giving, and, you know, thought that was such a lovely way of seeing it. So she's giving something back, even if she was kind of struggling a bit. I think why giving can help, it's about, I suppose, it's that seeing that the world's bigger than just you. Mm. And then I guess very kind of, in a sense where you do get a buzz from helping others, you get a sense of pride, a bit of, it can kind of boost your self-esteem. And as I said, in terms of what that could be, it could be giving a lift in your car to someone that wants to get to church but can't drive themselves anymore. It could be volunteering. It could be volunteering to help to run one of these community events we were talking about. I think as we go on, we'll find a lot of these steps do kind of intersect each other. So, for example, you might be the volunteer at the lunch club and you're kind of connecting at the same time as you're volunteering. I know lots of people, maybe if they're for lots of different reasons, might not be able to work at the moment, they might want to volunteer. So volunteering is a really nice way to feel part of your community. So it could be volunteering to help at a church event, helping at a lunch club. It's just giving time, giving
involved,
space,
isn't it, really?
giving your full attention to a family member. I'm terrible at kind of talking to my husband while actually still looking at Facebook at the same time. So I'm trying to say, actually, I'm going to give him my time right now. So giving time, giving love, giving money, if that's what you want to do. But it's obviously wider than that. But there's lots of evidence that when you do give, you can get that sense of pride, can boost your self-esteem that you've done something that has helped others. So I think it definitely helps people's well-being to know that they've given. And also, you know, noticing the small ways you've given as well. So that's, we're so good at giving ourselves a hard time, aren't we? Whereas if you kind of stop and we'll talk about take notice in a bit, but, you know, acknowledge that you've given some time to others and just give yourself a bit of a pat on the back.
That's good. That's really good. I think, you know, there's a scripture that comes to mind, which is to be our brother's keeper. And I think, you know, life can be at times very hectic, can be very heavy, and you know speaking earlier on about feeling the sense of carrying it alone. So in terms of what you're sharing, it really talks about sharing, you know, sharing of yourself, sharing of your time, sharing of your expert knowledge, sharing of your experience, sharing of your love, and or even finances, as you mentioned, or your time, you know. So it's about, again, it kind of all goes back to the reconnecting. You know, so you can see how the steps. I know you're going to speak about the others, you know, but it's, you know, so far anyway, it seems to be a building block.
Yes, for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And similarly, I think, you know, it is important that we, this part of the giving, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 onwards, talks about us, I think 2 to 10, somewhere in there, it's talking about us sharing one another's burdens. Yes. And in so doing, when we do that, we're obeying the law of Christ. You know, you give of yourself in order to, you know, you give to get, you give to receive, you be a blessing to be blessed, as it were. And I think that that really is, you know, it alludes to what you're saying here. Okay. Connect.
Give. Get active.
Number three, get active.
So this one really is the one that feels like it's most to do with the kind of the connection to physical health. All of these things are supposed to be an inspiration for people. Other people will have their own absolutely personal ways of how they look after well-being. And I think we've all had enough of, you know, should be doing this, I could be doing this. This isn't about adding another thing to hit ourselves that we're not doing. This isn't another thing to feel guilty about. I think why it's there is actually when you look at the impact of that stress can have on a body. We know, for example, during periods of kind of stress or trauma, you know, you physically, your body does release some hormones, adrenaline, I think it's cortisol, that does actually kind of physically affect you through times of stress. And we know there's actually happy hormones as well with endorphins that can actually very powerfully come out. You know, we've all had it where we haven't wanted to kind of go for a walk or an exercise class and you drag yourself there and then actually, I can only speak personally, you come out and think, I'm going to do that every night so now true. And I get such a buzz. So even though on the going before, it's just like, I really don't want to do it.
It's an effort, though, isn't it?
It's an effort. Yeah. And then afterwards, you're just like, I've got it. But it really, you know, we're not talking just being getting active. It's not just about getting to the gym or a class. It could be like if doing a really vigorous bit of housework and you know, going around with a vacuum cleaner really vigorously and cleaning, or walking back from the shops to the shopping rather than getting on the bus. A lot of people when they think about relaxation for stress, think about, you know, we go through the cliches of light a candle and have a bath, and actually it can be some people kind of really want to burn off stress by and relax, they relax by going for a run or dancing. So I think there's something about kind of like how it can get it released from the body, but it's it certainly doesn't have to be about we all have to head to the gym. It can just be about going out for a walk. And again, sometimes if people are starting to struggle with their mood, what we see at Merton Uplift is things that people used to enjoy, going outside, having a run or swimming. There's sometimes the things that start to drop off that maybe family members have noticed, or that's certainly one of the questions we would ask when people come to us. It's like, well, are there some things in your life that you used to enjoy that you're not doing right now? And that can be a real sign of maybe someone struggling, that they used to really love going for a run and they just haven't done it now, and they just either physically feel tired or they can't get them going. And that's, for us, as a sign. It's like, well, let's help you get back to that you want to do. There's a really lovely scheme that started locally, and I think it's kind of spreading nationally and maybe internationally, called the Walk and Talk Movement. And it's just brilliant. So nice, isn't it?
Excellent.
Just getting together. Again, there's something about having a conversation when you're walking. You're not looking at each other eyeball to eyeball, which can be quite intense, but just walking literally side by side, and who knows where the conversation can go, but that bringing together of being outside, we know, with the connecting. So I think joining something like a Walk and Talk, going for a walk and noticing, you know, at the moment the autumn colours are so beautiful. Yes. So even if it's like you don't want to leave your house, but just for 10 minutes to go out and notice the difference.
And see
the sunset, beautiful light at the moment. So I think there is, as I said, there's something very physically about the hormones that when we're stressed and the happy hormones that get released. But we're not saying everybody has to join a gym, but it's about where there's that physical activity.
To get involved.
Yeah, but also noticing that if you're not taking care of yourself physically, then that can be a real warning sign that maybe your mental health isn't where it should be.
Ultimately, the body is a temple.
Yes. I was just having a picture, you know, even art therapy. Because it allows your mind to switch off for a moment.
Yes.
And just colouring or drawing.
Yes.
If that's, you know, your preference. Mm. Or even, you know, clay.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is that allows you to somewhat switch off a little bit.
Yeah.
And to allow your body to sort of rest.
Yes.
You know, yes.
We talk about... Joe probably knows a lot more about this than I do, but there's this kind of quite technical phrase in when you're talking about stress and anxiety called ruminating. For it's exactly that, where you're not going to solve anything, but you just can't switch your mind off from going round and round in circles of what if this happens or this happened, and replaying kind of bad experiences. And it's exhausting. Mm. It's really, really tiring. Mm. But as you say, just saying, I'm just going to stop for a bit and kind of do some colouring or something just to stop that kind of vicious circle of really unhelpful thoughts is really, it's really valuable to try and stop that. And that's why going out for a walk or having a run and sticking on some headphones and listening to some inspiring music is really beneficial.
Very important. Mm.
So, 5 steps to well-being.
Yep.
Number 1, connect.
Yep.
Number 2, give.
Yes.
Number 3, get active.
Yes.
Get active. So if you're just listening, if you're wondering, what are they talking about on the show today? We're talking about 5 steps of well-being. We've got in the studio our guest, Sarah McDonald from Merton Uplift. And we're looking at these issues. We want to encourage you to join in the conversation. We've had a couple of comments already, so we'll deal with those coming up in a little while. Just want us to try and push through the other steps. Yeah. If you're listening and you have a question, you have a comment, you have a contribution, maybe you've experienced some of this yourself, or you have your own version, let's hear from you. Mm-hmm. Click on the button that says contact the studio within the PHBC radio app, or alternatively, if you're listening to us online, you can contact us via our social media handles at PHBC London. So, step 1, connect. Step 2, give. Step 3, get active. What's number 4?
Step 4, keep learning.
Mm.
Feels like what you guys are doing here every week.
Are we learning, Maxine?
I think I am, anyway.
All right. Oh, hello, under the bus.
No, we are indeed. We are indeed. You know, the having Sally here today. Sarah here. Makes you think, what about me?
Mm.
Yeah. And so for a professional person, it doesn't mean that you can't get help through your service. So, talk about that a little bit for somebody who may well feel, well, I am a counsellor.
Yes.
I am a teacher. I am, whatever it may well be.
Mm.
And so they're going through, they're carrying this, sort of a burden to some degree. Is your service for them?
Absolutely. And we saw, as you're saying, going back to the pandemic, they actually prioritised for a time NHS staff, people seeing some really, really traumatic stuff in hospitals. So NHS staff, veterans, people that may be in the military, teachers, we wanted to make sure that people knew we were there for them. But just generally, we run a course called Avoiding Burnout and Stress at Work. We talk a lot about like on aeroplanes, when they're giving the safety announcement, they always say to parents, put your own mask on before first. You can help others. We talk about that, how can we help others if we're not looking after ourselves, either very practically if we are burnt out, but, we'd all be sitting here, we've got to be able to practice what we preach, I suppose.
Absolutely.
But with the knowledge, it's easier said than done, I think. But yeah, absolutely. So anyone working in a helping professional, maybe in a care at home.
Mm.
It's really hard, isn't it, if people are caring for family members. Thinking of kind of couples I know, maybe one of the husband's got dementia and the wife's giving all their time to him and wants to. It's like, but you've got to look after yourself as well. So,
In what ways can people, in what ways can we keep learning? Other than the, as you said, enrolling on a course at South Thames College, what other ways can we keep learning?
I think this one's so important because it's basically being open to new ideas, open to new opinions, open to new debates. Just there's something about then, I think, because what it can really do is help you move away from a fixed mindset.
Yeah.
If we all think we've only got the one solution kind of thing, we've got to be open to each other's ideas. So, as I said, that might be reading a particular passage in the Bible. It might be listening to a radio show like this or a TED Talk on YouTube.
Mm.
It can be anything like, trying a new recipe, trying a new food you haven't tried before. Mm. And then because then I think, trying a new craft, as you were saying,
mm-hmm.
there's something about learning about yourself that you can develop. We talked a bit before about self-improvement, but I think for me, why this one, probably the evidence behind it, is about being open to new ideas.
Mm.
Because then when someone does, when you're in these kind of process of therapy and someone says, well, have you ever considered having this conversation with a family member that there might be conflict? Maybe you'll be more open to it if you've kind of got that mindset about being open to new ideas, because that's how we've got to change, isn't it? How do we change as people if we're not open to new ideas?
Mm. I think as well, I think during the COVID, I keep going back to the COVID for some reason, but anyway, I think it really brought home that in some families, some houses, some homes, there's been a family, there's been a breakdown, let's put it that way. And so it sort of forced you to confront that issue, whatever it may well be. So in terms of the learning a new thing, it could be a learning about, well, how do I try to reconcile?
Mm-hmm.
How do I try to restore? How do I, you know, maybe, I know for some family members or friends, they lost quite a few family members. And so it made them realize, oh my God, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I didn't get a chance to, to say thank you. And so how do I move on from that? And so, you know, a different approach could be, as you suggested, that could help that move to another level, move to a place of healing.
I really resonate with that from some family bereavement we've had. I'm the younger sibling and my sister's the older sister, and you're just in that relationship of you're the younger sibling, you get away with this, she thinks she's the older one, she knows everything, she's the expert. And you get, you know, you when I see her, I revert back to being a 12-year-old sister with all the bickering. But as you say, it's about let's try and move on our relationship now to being two adults rather than two younger siblings. So I think there's so much around kind of family relationships where we can keep learning about each other, I think, is really important.
Wow. What an engaging conversation. We're going to listen to another piece of music now. Again, this is, I don't know how many people know Todd Delaney.
Yes.
And just thinking about what we're talking about here and you know, the idea of steps to well-being, connecting, giving, getting active, continuing to learn, how did you phrase
keep
that?
Keep learning.
You know, this song is by Todd Delaney, and I mean, it speaks for itself. It's called Pulling Me Through.
I've gone through, Lord, it was you. Yes, through all I've gone through, Lord, it was you. Yes, it was you. Oh, it was you. It was you, Lord, it was you, pulled me through. Oh.
Knows that God did it for them, just say it was you, Father. This is my testimony, God. I stumbled a few times. Towards heaven and say, it was you, Father.
Nobody but you, Lord.
Yeah.
gonna testify.
No, never.
You'll never leave me or forsake me. That's good news from glory. Yes, it is. Come on, everybody, say you never.
What a fantastic message in that song. No matter what we're going through as Christians, as believers in God, even when we weren't, you know, scripture tells us that even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. He has a love that goes beyond what we've done, what we've thought, what we've said, you know, and he's right there pulling us through. Amen. If you're just joining us on the show, this is the Being Mindful Show, and today we've been exploring the 5 steps to well-being with our special guest, Sarah McDonald from Merton Uplift. Please let us hear from you. We've had a couple of questions already through, and we're going to touch on those questions very shortly, but we're just running through these 5 steps in the short time we've got left. Number one was give. Number two was...
connect.
No, number one was connect. Number two was give. Number three... Maxine, come on, you've got this. Get active,
get active,
correct?
Yes.
Number four.
Keep learning.
Keep learning. Okay, because I forgot that one. So, Sarah, what's number five?
Yeah, the last one, I probably psychologically left it for last because it's hard to describe, but it's take notice. Mm. So it's recommended we all take notice. I think this can be quite hard to come up with examples for. I think for me, there's something about the context of noticing, noticing how we're doing in ourselves, noticing how our loved ones are. Maybe we need to reach out and give them a bit more support. I think there's something really valuable about pleasure in small things. And again, not trying to diminish or minimize the real challenges we're all kind of facing in life. But there's about seeing the pleasure in small things. So, and actually that's even more important when things are challenging, I think. So as we say, noticing the amazing autumnal light in the leaves. We talk about kind of trying to find a bit of gratitude during really difficult times. And again, that's not trying to take away from the stress, but it's saying, you know, it hasn't rained today and I thought it was going to, or it's really simple things like my bus was on time. And I think, again, it's just trying to be a bit grateful for the good things when things are hard. But there's also then taking notice of yourself. So maybe taking notice of how your body is. You know, we talk about in when we do a course on anxiety, we talk about like how we might notice we're only breathing from the upper part of our body and our throat and our chest when we're nervous. Okay. And actually think about how oxygen gets around the body and trying to encourage people to do some deep breathing. So noticing if your body's starting to get really tense around your kind of shoulders, or you're getting a stomach ache a lot, maybe that's a sign of stress. So there's something we can all be doing to kind of be noticing how our mind and body are connected. Maybe noticing we're stressed at work. And then I think to see the positive side of that is about maybe taking notice of the, you know, using the power of prayer, using the power of meditation, of gratitude to be able to improve our well-being. So I guess that's why we talk about the importance of taking notice. And then what some examples of that. I loved your example before about colouring and clay and stuff. So kind of creating things to either give our to mind a rest or to kind of notice some beauty that we can create. So yeah, this one can feel a bit vague, but I think it can also be really valuable about taking notice.
Yeah, I mean, I think of checking in.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, checking with yourself, checking with each other, checking with, checking in, checking in comes to mind a great deal because, you know, you, as you said, you can be so busy doing whatever that may well be, but haven't thought about checking in with yourself because your mind's running and running 200 miles per hour.
You
know,
as you're saying that, Maxine, there's a picture that comes to my mind. You drive, don't you, Sarah?
No.
You don't drive? Oh, my.
I passed my test, but now I haven't set foot in the car since I passed. I've got the license.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, so you're welcome here. That's fine. But here's the thing. Whether or not you drive, actually, I think we understand how sat-navs work. There's a reason. There was a time people were developing sat-navs, and it was like, oh, yeah, we don't need the screen. We could just follow the voice prompts. No. We need the screen.
Yes.
And there's always a dot or a square or an arrow on the screen that shows you where you are. And just knowing where you are helps you ground yourself along your journey.
Yeah.
And I think that's really, really key is where are you? Where am I right now? Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be, in my job, in my career project, you know, trajectory.
Yeah.
Where am I right now?
Yeah.
So important. Critical question.
And it's very important because knowing where you are means you can then follow the steps.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
If you know, if you sort of jump from step one, you know, going up the stairs, let's just start with there. Going up steps is a challenge unless you're very tall and long-legged, you know, to go from step one to step four. Steps are there for a reason. It helps you. It's part of process, isn't it? You know, so yes, indeed, knowing where you are and then being able to plan where am I going to get the next, or how am I going to do the next, whatever it is.
Or not, as the case may be.
Yes.
Because it may be a case of, you know what?
Take some time.
And those of us who are Christians listening, listen, on the seventh day, God did what? He rested. Sometimes the taking stock, the taking notice, the assessment, the evaluation, the sat-nav, where am I right now, geolocating yourself, helps you understand it's time to stop.
Yes.
It's time to just take a beat, take a breath.
Yeah.
You know, as you were alluding, well, you said it, you know, check out, think about your breathing. Think about tension in your body. I was speaking with a friend the other day who said, "Ooh, I've noticed I've had this pain in my back. I said, "Oh, when did it start?" He said, "Actually, now that I think about it, I've had it for a good few weeks." I'm like, dude, but it's because he hadn't taken notice. He hadn't taken stock until it had gotten to a place where he could barely bend now, you see. And I think sometimes we fall into that trap of just being complacent with ourselves.
And also as well, trauma hides itself in the body. You know, it's important then to acknowledge, well, you know what, as you said with your friend, when did it start? You know, and perhaps she then can think back, you know what, it started when blah blah blah, whatever that may well be, and then for them to acknowledge, actually I need to let that go, or I need to deal with that, so that I can be free from that pain or whatever it is maybe going on.
I feel for this one, that's so true, because it feels like it's about kind of taking control, isn't it? Like if you know that when you're stressed you avoid things, for example, we've done a workshop on financial stress and debt and how that feeling of a brown envelope comes through and you just don't want to open it kind of thing, and suddenly five envelopes are through. So it's about maybe when you're stressed, you kind of, someone, as we were saying, kind of might stop talking to their families. If you're taking notice, you're taking control, you're noticing, or you're noticing your coping strategies. And some of us have really unhelpful as well as helpful coping strategies. So, you know, thinking about either comfort eating or maybe drinking and stuff. So if we're taking notice of what do we do when we're stressed, do we automatically go on, you know, Twitter to zone out kind of thing, or we go by stress, we kind of have a glass of wine. It's like if we can notice what our coping strategies are,
checking in with yourself.
We can checking in, and then we can be thinking about, well, what is this what I want to do?
Mm. Now, so today, it's an absolutely wonderful 5 steps to well-being. And in some regards, you know, we haven't got enough time to actually unpack these things, really get into them. Mm-hmm. But at least today has been a very good foundation.
Very
step one was, connect.
Mm-hmm.
Step two, give. Step three, take.
Get active.
Okay.
And then keep.
Step four, take.
Keep learning.
Keep learning. And then five, take notes.
So if people wanted to Google 5 ways of well-being, there was the kind of policy group behind it was the New Economics Foundation, but it's the NHS. I've put some work into it. You know, it's evidence-based that if we do these steps,
it
can help improve our well-being and happiness.
Thinking about Merton Uplift, let's talk a little bit about what you do. And in fact, before we do that, we had a, just thinking about what we've had, I think one of the questions has been addressed. Great show tonight. What kind of things would you suggest in terms of connecting for those people working full time or looking after children, people who are short of time? Sometimes it's hard to make the time because, you know, the days get so busy and then days turn to weeks to months.
Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest?
I think there's something about, as you were saying, kind of prioritising ourselves. It's really hard, isn't it, with busy family lives, but just kind of saying, actually, for my self-care, I am going to say on Thursday nights I'm taking half an hour of myself to kind of go to a club that I find. So just prioritising
On Thursday, I'm taking an hour between 7 p.m. and 8 p.m.
To
listen
into
to... yes, could we just be clear?
Yes. Let's say Monday instead.
Any other day, but not Thursday.
So there's something about that. And then, you know, there's SOMA. There's this new movement called Men's Sheds for men to get together to talk. So important. We're trying to do that, whether it's through a sports. It doesn't even have to be talking. We think connecting. You might not feel in the mood, but as I said, joining a choir, joining a Zumba class, where you're doing it collectively, shared activity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's absolutely wonderful. So in terms of Merton Uplift, you provide this wonderful service, the free service, anybody can access that, but you're part of the NHS.
Yes.
So, you know, I've been going through some stuff. I want to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
No, tick.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to somebody in confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Tick.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Correct.
Okay. But then I'm thinking, I'm not so sure if I want that on my medical record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be situations that people are going through and they're thinking, well, I don't want that on my medical record. You know, is there anything that can be done about that? Or, you know?
Absolutely. So you can say at the beginning of the conversations when you have the first meeting with the therapist that you don't want it to go back to your GP and it's not connected to your work anyway, then so you can absolutely say, I want to keep this separate. Oh, I don't want you to write to my GP. I don't want the letters merging. Obviously, if the service decides that maybe for your safety or other people's safety, they need to, for sure. But generally, 99% of the time, you can say that and it will be kept completely confidential.
Unless there's some sort of legal or safeguarding type thing. I think it's really important to say that and to stress that.
Mm.
Safeguarding is like, oh, yeah, everything's safeguarding. But you know what? Rather err on the side of caution.
I think we always say to people, look, just have that first conversation. So we call the first meeting a kind of an assessment or a triage. That all normally happens very quickly. You could kind of connect it to us on the website on the Monday, and by Friday you could be having that first conversation and just hear what the service can offer.
Mm.
I'm not promising after that it'll be that quick, but you know, and then get the therapist to kind of hear from you what's going on and for them to suggest what type of therapy they might think will be appropriate.
Mm.
There's no harm in having that conversation just to start the ball rolling. Or they might say, actually, we don't think we're the service for you, but Wimbledon Gill do an amazing bereavement counsellor.
Right.
Maybe that's best for
you.
We're not saying we've got the answers to everything,
mm-hmm.
but it's just start that conversation, hear what's available to you, and then you can make that decision yourself to be in control whether it feels like the right service for you.
You know, I was just thinking, stress doesn't come in one way, one form.
One size.
One size fits all. It doesn't. So for our listeners out there, if there's something, whatever it may well be it bereavement, be it a family breakdown, be it, you know, a struggle with your child or something at work or, you know, a personal matter, health concern, a scare, you know, even, you know, that you're going through, think about this service, Merton Uplift.
Yeah.
And how do we find Merton Uplift? We can just Google Merton
Uplift. Just Google up Uplift, and then you can self-refer there. There's a phone number as well, all on there. And if you happen to not be in Merton, as I said, everyone should have this access to this service. We're now out of the pandemic. You can ask to see a therapist face-to-face, but also for some people, you can do it over the telephone. You can do it over their version of Zoom. So, for example, if you're housebound, you can't get out. Mm-hmm. There's individual therapy. There's groups. There's a whole range. But, yeah, and you're in control. You can say, I want to see a female therapist, and I'm going to need a Tamil interpreter, and that can be arranged.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely fantastic. Wonderful. Listen, what a fantastic show we've had today. For those of you listening, we want to say thank you. Absolutely wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your questions and your comments. Thank you for sending them in, being part of the conversation. But more than that, we want to say
thank you to
PHB, Being Mindful listeners. You know, I get schooled here regularly. Yeah, keep learning. So we want to say thank you, Maxine. We want to say a special thank you to our wonderful guest, Sarah McDonald from Merton Uplift. We're here for you. Merton Uplift is here for you if you have any issues, any questions, whatever it is you may be going through. Connect with us and let's help you connect to your steps to well-being. Again, thank you for joining us. We will be back same time next week, Thursday, 7 o'clock. And in the meantime, we want to say thank you for listening, joining us on Being Mindful, and
stay connected.
Indeed, indeed. God bless you.
Bye-bye.